The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Continuing in Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection, and Chapter 8, The Liberation of the Spirit, on page 677 at the bottom. The truth of being is that there is a transcendent existence, supreme self or spirit, a timeless soul of existence, an eternal, a divine, or even we may speak of it in relation to current mental ideas of the Godhead as a supra-divine, which is here immanent, all-embracing, all-initiating, and all-governing, a great universal spirit, and the individual is a conscious power of being of the eternal, capable eternally of relations with him, but one with him, too, in the very core of reality of its own eternal existence. This is a truth which the intelligence can apprehend, can, when once purified, reflect, transmit, hold in a derivative fashion, but it can only be entirely realized, lived, and made effective in the spirit. When we live in the spirit, then we not only know, but are this truth of our being. The individual then enjoys in the spirit, in the bliss of the spirit, his oneness with the universal existence, his oneness with the timeless divine, and his oneness with all other beings. And that is the essential sense of a spiritual liberation from the ego. But the moment the soul leans toward the mental limitation, there is a certain sense of spiritual separativeness, which has its joys, but may at any moment lapse into the entire ego sense, ignorance, oblivion of oneness. To get rid of this separativeness, an attempt is made to absorb oneself in the idea and realization of the divine. And this takes, in certain forms of spiritual askesis, the turn of a strain towards the abolition of all individual being and a casting away, in the trance of immersion, of all individual or universal relations with the divine. In others, it becomes an absorbed dwelling in him, and not in this world, or a continual absorbed or intent living in his presence, Shayujya, Salokya, Samipya Mukti. The way proposed for the integral yoga is a lifting up and surrender of the whole being to him, by which not only do we become one with him in our spiritual existence, but dwell too in him, and he in us, so that the whole nature is full of his presence and changed into the divine nature. We become one spirit and consciousness and life and substance with the divine. And at the same time, we live and move in and have a various joy of that oneness. This integral liberation from the ego into the divine spirit and nature can only be relatively complete on our present level, but it begins to become absolute as we open to and mount into the gnosis. This is the liberated perfection. The liberation from ego, the liberation from desire, together found the central spiritual freedom. The sense, the idea, the experience that I am a separately self-existent being in the universe, and of the forming of consciousness and force of being into the mold of that experience, are the root of all suffering, ignorance, and evil. And it is so because that falsifies, both in practice and in cognition, the whole real truth of things. It limits the being, limits the consciousness, limits the power of our being, limits the bliss of being. This limitation again produces a wrong way of existence, wrong way of consciousness, wrong way of using the power of our being and consciousness, and wrong, perverse, and contrary forms of the delight of existence. The soul, limited in being and self-isolated in its environment, feels itself no longer in unity and harmony with itself, with God, with the universe, with all around it, but rather it finds itself at odds with the universe, in conflict and disaccord with other beings who are its other selves, but whom it treats as not self. And so long as this disaccord and disagreement last, it cannot possess its world and it cannot enjoy the universal life, but is full of unease, fear, afflictions of all kinds, and a painful struggle to preserve and increase itself and possess its surroundings. For to possess its world is the nature of infinite spirit and the necessary urge in all being. The satisfaction it gets from this labor and effort are of a stinted, perverse, and unsatisfying kind. For the one real satisfaction it has is that of growth, of an increasing return towards itself, of some realization of accord and harmony, of successful self-creation and self-realization. But the little of these things that it can achieve on the basis of ego consciousness is always limited, insecure, imperfect, transitory. It is at war, too, with its own self. First, because since it is no longer in possession of the central harmonizing truth of its own being, it cannot properly control its natural members or accord their tendencies, powers, and demands. It has not the secret of harmony because it has not the secret of its own unity and self-possession. And secondly, not being in possession of its highest self, it has to struggle towards that, is not allowed to be at peace till it is in possession of its own. All this means that it is not at one with God, for to be at one with God is to be at one with yourself, at one with the universe, and at one with all beings. This oneness is the secret of a right and a divine existence. But the ego cannot have it, because it is in its very nature separative, and because even with regard to ourselves, to our own psychological existence, it is a false center of unity. For it tries to find the unity of our being in an identification with a shifting mental, vital, physical personality, not with the eternal self of our total existence. Only in the spiritual self can we possess the true unity. For there the individual enlarges to his own total being and finds himself one with universal existence and with the transcending divinity. All the trouble and suffering of the soul proceeds from this wrong, egoistic, and separative way of existence. The soul not in possession of its free self-existence, anatmavan, because it is limited in its consciousness, is limited in knowledge. And this limited knowledge takes the form of a falsifying knowledge. The struggle to return to a true knowing is imposed upon it, but the ego in the separative mind is satisfied with shows and fragments of knowledge which it pieces together into some false or some imperfect total or governing notion, and this knowledge fails it and has to be abandoned for a fresh pursuit of the one thing to be known. That one thing is the divine, the self, the spirit, in whom universal and individual being find at last their right foundation and their right harmonies. Again, because it is limited in force, the ego-prisoned soul is full of many incapacities, wrong knowledge is accompanied by wrong will, wrong tendencies and impulses of the being, and the acute sense of this wrongness is the root of the human consciousness of sin. This deficiency of its nature, it tries to set right by standards of conduct, which will help it to remove the egoistic consciousness and satisfactions of sin by the egoistic consciousness and self-satisfaction of virtue, the rajasic, by the sattvic egoism. But the original sin has to be cured. The separation of its being and will from the divine being and the divine will, when it returns to unity with the divine will and being, it rises beyond sin and virtue to the infinite, self-existent purity and the security of its own divine nature. Its incapacities it tries to set right by organizing its imperfect knowledge and disciplining its half-enlightened will and force, and directing them by some systematic effort of the reason. But the result must always be a limited, uncertain, mutable, and stumbling way and standard of capacity in action. Only when it returns again to the large unity of the free spirit, Bhuma, can the action of its nature move perfectly as the instrument of the infinite spirit and in the steps of the right and truth and power which belong to the free soul acting from the supreme center of its existence. Again, because it is limited in the delight of being, it is unable to lay hold on the secure, self-existent, perfect bliss of the spirit or the delight, the ananda of the universe, which keeps the world in motion, but is only able to move in a mixed and shifting succession of pleasures and pains, joys and sorrows, or must take refuge in some conscient inconscience or neutral indifference. The ego mind cannot do otherwise, and the soul which has externalized itself in ego is subjected to this unsatisfactory, secondary, imperfect, often perverse, troubled, or annulled enjoyment of existence. Yet, all the time the spiritual and universal ananda is within, in the self, in the spirit, in its secret unity with God and existence. To cast away the chain of ego and go back to free self, immortal spiritual being, is the soul's return to its own eternal divinity. The will to the imperfect separative being, that wrong tapas which makes the soul in nature attempt to individualize itself, to individualize its being, consciousness, force of being, delight of existence in a separative sense, to have these things as its own, in its own right, and not in the right of God and of the universal oneness, is that which brings about this wrong turn and creates the ego. To turn from this original desire is therefore essential. To get back to the will without desire, whose whole enjoyment of being and whole will in being is that of a free universal and unifying ananda. These two things are one: liberation from the will that is of the nature of desire, and liberation from the ego, and the oneness which is brought about by the happy loss of the will of desire and the ego is the essence of mukti. End of chapter 8, The Liberation of the Spirit, page 681.